Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I am, you guessed it, Gary Zimak. Thank you for joining me once again on Blog Talk Radio. Today is All Souls Day, the commemoration of all souls. We remember the souls who are being purified in purgatory. So this is a good day to pray for all those who have not quite made it to heaven because they can't do anything to help themselves. That's the beauty of being able to pray for them on this day. We will look at the, of course, we should pray for them every day, but this day especially is a special commemoration of these souls. In addition to reading the readings from Daily Mass, we'll have extra readings for this day. We'll also look at a little bit more in the Catechism regarding sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So the Catholic Church teaches that the Lord reveals himself. The Word of God exists both in a written and an oral form, sacred scripture and sacred tradition. We get the fullness of truth in the Catholic faith transmitted to us both in an oral and a written form. We talked a little bit about that on the show yesterday, how Jesus handed down the authority to teach to the apostles, who subsequently handed down their authority to their successors, the bishops. So we've had an unbroken chain, if you will, of church authority from the time of Christ right up until the present time. It's a really cool concept, and we're blessed to be a part of the Catholic Church. So anyway, it's great to be back here with you on the program, and let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together once again on Blog Talk Radio. Father, today we ask you to have mercy on all souls who may be undergoing purification in purgatory right now. We ask you, Father, especially to have mercy on the souls of our families, our friends, co-workers, anybody we may have known, the souls who have no one to pray for them, all of the souls who are in purgatory right now. And we ask you to have mercy on them and to allow them to be with you in heaven as soon as possible. We lift up all of our own intentions. We lift up the needs of our family members. We lift up those who are homeless, those who are homebound. We lift up those who are anxious, who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with addiction as well, those who are suffering from loneliness. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons, and we pray for an increase in vocation. And Father, I ask you to use me today as your instrument, and please speak through me on this program so that your message can go forth over the airwaves. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I did remember my beverage du jour today. By the way, I have the windows open. It's a gorgeous night here in South Jersey. Beautiful night, so I have the windows open. You may hear a few sounds of the outside drift in, but I'm going to take a sip of my beverage. Here we go. Now that is tasty. You know what it is today? It is a nice hot mug of Krispy Kreme coffee. If you're familiar with Krispy Kreme, the donut store, they sell their coffee in supermarkets now. So that's what I have, some nice Krispy Kreme coffee. By the way, I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday, Mystic Monk Coffee now has my favorite flavor available, Jingle Bell Java. You can get that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on the Mystic Monk image. If you haven't tried their coffee, you've got to try it. This is the way. These are Carmelite monks. They're based in Wyoming, and they support themselves by selling this fantastic coffee, Mystic Monk Coffee. And every time you purchase Mystic Monk Coffee by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, that results in a little bit of a commission for me, and it helps me to continue in ministry. And look, every little bit helps, and I'm grateful for your support. But if you haven't tried their coffee, you really should check it out. Their slogan is, "The best coffee you've ever tasted." And if you're monks and you've got that as your slogan, it's got to be good coffee. Wouldn't you think? It really is that good, Mystic Monk Coffee. Make sure you check that out. I want to thank you for your donations. I got a couple of donations over the past few days. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much. And if you haven't donated to my work, or if you're still on the fence thinking about it, please consider doing it by going to followingthetruth.com. You can either become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation. Okay. What do we have here? Let's take a look at these mass readings. Let's talk a little bit about All Souls Day first. There's a problem that we see. It's becoming more and more commonplace. And it is problematic because we hear more and more people, not just lay people, but we see clergy saying that this person or that person is in heaven. We don't know that. We've got to be really careful about that. Only the church can proclaim if an individual is in heaven. And the church does that through a process called canonization, where the church canonizes saints under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And there's a pretty elaborate process that that the church goes through to do this. Now, here's the problem. And I don't really want to be a stickler about this, but you could see what happens here. If we just assume that everybody's in heaven, and if we're saying, oh, my mom's in heaven, my dad's in heaven, then why in the world would we pray for that soul? If they're in heaven, they don't need any prayers. It's foolish to pray for souls in heaven. We don't pray for the souls in heaven because they're in perfect happiness. They're with the Lord. It doesn't get any better than being in heaven, and that's what our church teaches. So if we're a little loose with saying that this person is in heaven, or even it's saying this person's in a better place, what happens is eventually we don't see the need anymore to pray for the souls in purgatory. That's a serious problem because the church teaches that we need to pray for the souls in purgatory because they can't do anything to help themselves. So on this day, All Souls Day, yesterday was the celebration of all those souls who are in heaven. We don't pray for those souls who are in heaven. We ask them to pray for us. On the other hand, the souls in purgatory, they need our prayers. Yeah, they're going to make it to heaven one day, but see, right now, they're in a place where they are not quite there. And they know where they're going, and it's painful. It's a painful process. If you've ever undergone any kind of purification in your own life, you feel the Lord might be working with you to help you to become holier or to overcome a certain sin, the process can be painful, especially when you can't help yourself. And that's the way it is in purgatory. So please remember the souls in purgatory, especially remember those souls who have no one to pray for them. And if you consider that our Protestant brothers and sisters do not believe in praying for the dead, there are millions and millions of souls who are in purgatory who nobody's praying for. So we need to pray for the souls who have no one to pray for them. And also, as Father Jeff Kirby, who was on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, yesterday pointed out, pray for the souls of deceased clergy and religious. Because oftentimes, and he said many of the mystics have noted that they've been given the vision that purgatory is filled with clergy and religious. Why? Because nobody prays for them. Because we assume they're going to be okay. So if you have, pray for deceased priests and bishops and deacons and religious sisters and brothers, because they need our prayers as well. So especially if you know anybody who maybe has passed on, a favorite priest or somebody who's really helped you, say a prayer for them tonight. It would really be helpful to them. And by the way, for the record, if you ever hear that I die, please, please, please do not assume that I am in heaven. Because I'm going to need your prayers, so please pray for my soul. And I'm serious about that. If you ever hear that I pass away, I ask you to please pray for my soul. And I would very much appreciate that. All right, let's take a look at these readings. All Souls Day, it's kind of a strange day in terms of the categorization for as far as the church goes. Typically, yesterday was a solemnity, which is the highest holy day of the church. And then generally below a solemnity is a feast. The apostles and a few select saints have feast days. That's pretty high up there. Then we have memorials, which is below that. And then we have optional memorials, which is, I guess you would call it, the sort of the lowest category of special feast days of the church. Well, today's day is a commemoration. It's very unique. It's called the Commemoration of All Souls. There are extra readings. We're going to read them, but they all pertain to the souls who are suffering in purgatory. And again, the church wants to call our attention. This whole month of November is dedicated to praying for the souls in purgatory. So if you have family members who are buried in a cemetery near you, make sure you go and visit them. There's the church holds that there is a special benefits that can come from praying for the deceased in a cemetery, physically going to a cemetery And it's not a gruesome thing. It's a very it's a joyous thing, because we realize that these souls, they are not dead. I mean, they're dead in terms of the earth, but they are living forever. If you want to look at them as being in another room or something, and our belief as Christians is that we will all be reunited one day, God willing, in heaven. So if you may, if you can possibly get to a cemetery and pray for your loved ones, there is an indulgence attached to that, and you can Google that and find out the details. Okay, so the first reading for All Souls Day is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are at peace, for if before men, indeed they should they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation, they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. The reading here, we are reminded that when we reread in this first reading, God tried them and found them worthy of himself. See, we're focused on, number one, that there is a heaven. After death, we may have to go to purgatory to be purified a little bit. And this reading is alluding to that somewhat in reminding us of the fact that we may have to go through a purification process. Now, the good news is, if you go to purgatory and you are purified, you will eventually end up in heaven. But see, our prayers can make that process go faster. And we don't understand exactly how it works, but again, this is a church teaching. And in the second part of the program, we'll take a look at how the church can proclaim various doctrines and dogmas. It's by the authority given to the church through Christ. Let's do all the readings, and then we'll talk more. Psalm 23 is the responsorial psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. You hear this reading mentioned oftentimes or this responsorial psalm used at funerals. It's a very comforting psalm. I think it's one of the most, I think it might be the most popular psalm. The reminder is the Lord walks beside us, and ultimately we will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come, forever. Our goal is heaven. And when somebody dies, we have that hope that that person may go to heaven. But again, we can't judge for sure. So what the church reminds us of is the fact that it's important and necessary to pray for the souls who are in purgatory, that they may be released and allowed to live with the Lord in heaven. And you're never going to know until you get there how many souls you helped. Imagine how nice it will be to one day be able to find out from these souls, when you meet them there, that you were responsible for releasing them from purgatory and allowing them to go to heaven. So it's a real privilege that we have to be able to do this. Let's look at the second reading. It's from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Brothers and sisters, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, when we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person One might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. This commemoration of All Souls Day, it's a hopeful day, because we are reminded that each one of us, by virtue of what Christ did on the cross, each one of us has the ability to live forever in heaven. But the church wants us to remember that this process is not necessarily complete. And we may have souls of people, some we know, some we don't know, who are in this process of purification. And we can do a part to help them. And when you think about that, that's a really great privilege. They can't help themselves. See, they can't help themselves to get to heaven any faster. While we are on this earth, there are things we can do. We can, I don't want to use the word earn merit, but we can gain merit by doing good deeds. And of course, we can never get to heaven without the grace given to us by Christ. We can't do it on our own. We don't get to heaven because we're doing good things. But in order to get to heaven, it is necessary for us to cooperate with the grace the Lord gives us and to do good works and good deeds. But we are not getting to heaven because of that. We're getting to heaven through the mercy of the Lord and by what he did on the cross. It's an important distinction and one we should not forget. Okay, let's look at the gospel, John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." This is a really important reminder for us to today and really every day. This is the will. These are the words of Jesus. "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." What Jesus is saying, a reminder to us, is that our Heavenly Father wants each one of us in heaven. That's his will for us. And again, we talked about this yesterday. We look at our lives and we say, oh, we're not good enough. We are not. And that's pride. When we start getting like that, we are too proud to accept the help that Jesus Christ gives to us, the grace that he gives to us primarily through his church. Of course, we're not good enough on our own. But nobody said that we are. In order to get to heaven, we have to be helped by the Lord. But our Heavenly Father wants us there. Every one of us is capable of ending up in heaven. You see terrorists on the news, you see mass murderers, our Heavenly Father wants them in heaven too. But now we have free will, unfortunately, and or really fortunately, but by our free will, we can reject the offer of heaven. A lot of times we don't even think that we're doing it, but we do it. We reject the grace that the Lord gives us. And we choose the easy way. We choose the instant gratification. But he wants each of us in heaven. And, you know, if you're looking for a comforting thought today, that's a great thought, that your Heavenly Father wants you in heaven. So know also that you can have something to do with getting souls to heaven. It's a great thing. You could pray for them. You can fast. There are things you can do for the souls in purgatory right now, and you could help souls get to heaven. So why don't you do your part today? Say some prayers for the souls in purgatory, and you will be rewarded someday. I mean, that's a very simple act that each one of us can do for those souls. They are counting on us. All right, let's look at the catechism once again. Well, we're in paragraph 88. I wanted to touch on, we've been talking about sacred tradition as opposed to sacred scripture, one of the ways that the Word of God is transmitted. And now here we're going to touch on, in paragraph 88, the Church's magisterium, which is the magisterium of the Church, is the teaching office of the Church. So the Church founded by Christ, can teach authoritatively. Paragraph 88 says this: the church's magisterium exercises the authority, see the authority given to it by Christ, it holds from Christ to the fullest extent when it defines dogmas, that is, when it proposes in a form obliging the Christian people to an irrevocable adherence of faith, truths contained in divine revelation, or also when it proposes in a definitive way truths having a necessary connection with these. So the church can propose, can declare these dogmas, and this is done with the authority given to her by Christ. It's all a matter of authority. Christ founded a church and gave the church the authority to issue these dogmas, things that must, concepts that must be believed. Paragraph 89 says there's an organic connection between our spiritual life and the dogmas. Dogmas are lights along the path of faith. They illuminate it and make it secure. Conversely, if our life is upright, our intellect and heart will be open to welcome the light shed by the dogmas of faith. See, what happens a lot of times, this is a shame, because we lose sight that Christ founded a church, we can become a little proud, and we can look at dogmatic definitions. And not everything the church declares is a dogma. We also have doctrines. But these dogmatic definitions, such as Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin, we could look at these declarations by the church and say, oh yeah, sure, I don't believe that. Well, you have to believe that if you're Catholic. I mean, that sounds harsh, but the church, Christ through his church, is helping us, because some of these concepts that the church feels the need to declare dogmatically, we couldn't understand on our own. And, you know, it's funny, we look at these gifts, these guidelines that are given to us, sometimes as rules or obstructions, but yet they were given to us by Christ to help us understand more. It really comes down to openness to the Lord. Are you going to be open to revelation, or do you think you know better? I know we can all think we know better at times, but I guarantee that you are going to make a lot more progress in your spiritual life by being open to what the church offers than by criticizing everything that the church declares. You know, it's just a matter of authority. If you love Christ, he founded a church. It's only fair and only reasonable that you should love that church as well. The mutual connections between dogmas, paragraph 90, and their coherence can be found in the whole of Revelation on the mystery of Christ, of the mystery of Christ. The supernatural sense of faith. We're going to just do an overview of some of these things. Paragraph 91, all the faithful share in understanding and handing on revealed truth. They have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who instructs them and guides them into all truth. Let's see what else. I don't want to go into this too deeply. Paragraph 94, thanks to the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the understanding of both the realities and the words of the heritage of faith is able to grow in the life of the church. So, let me continue on. Through the contemplation and study of believers who ponder these things in their hearts, it is in particular theological research which deepens knowledge of revealed truth. Let's see. What this is saying is that over the years, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doctrine or even dogma can somewhat develop so that there is a greater understanding. The Trinity is a prime example of that. And over the years, it never changes. Dogma cannot be changed, but it can develop and a greater understanding can take place. Let me check the time before. I don't think I want to go into sacred scripture, because we're a little short on time. I think I want to leave it at that, because we're going to talk next time about sacred scripture, what sacred scripture is, and I don't want to rush it. So, it's funny. I have this tendency to want to try to make as much progress with this catechism segment as I can, But yet I don't want to rush it too much because you're going to get inundated with a bunch of facts. And I think we're going to lose a lot of the meaning if that happens. So today we talked about the fact that the church can define dogmas. And these are concepts, facts, if you will, that need to be believed. If we're going to consider ourselves to be Catholic, we must accept them. And I would strongly urge you not to fight this. Because really, you're just going to hurt yourself spiritually if you do that. So be open and praying for the souls in purgatory. That's a prime example. That is a declaration of the church. The church tells us that we have to do that, where we're bound to do that. We don't have to do it. But if you're doing your duty as a good Christian, you're called to pray for the souls in purgatory. So, you know, you can always pray for the grace to be more open to church teaching. I know I had a hard time with some things through the years, and I found that by submitting, by getting to know Christ better, I mean, that in my case, that's what happened. By getting to know Christ better, by working on my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I was more willing at that point to believe everything that the church taught. In my case, that's how it worked. Other people, they learn the teachings first, and for some reason, the teachings draw them in, and then through those teachings, they grow closer to Christ. But in my case, in order for me to really believe and really embrace what the church teaches, it came about through that personal relationship with Christ. Because a lot of times, unless you have that, then we look at church teachings as, oh, it's just a bunch of rules. But if you love Christ, it's just as if you love another person. You want to learn about that person. You want to learn about them. And through the church, we can learn more about Christ and actually encounter him through the church, particularly through the sacraments. All right, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. We have a couple more minutes here, then it's time for me to hit the road. Tomorrow, God willing, I'll be back on. We will look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass, which is the 31st week in Ordinary Time. We are really running out of the church calendars, winding down. This is amazing how this will happen. 34th week is the final week that we celebrate in Ordinary Time before we go into Advent. So we're just a few weeks away from going into the Advent season. I don't want to rush things. And then, by the way, when we do go into Advent, we begin a new liturgical year. So we're just about at the end of the church year. You will note, and I mentioned this before, some of the Mass readings will focus on the end times because the church wants to call our attention to that. Specifically, at the end of the liturgical year, you'll hear some of the readings focus on end times. Why? So that we're prepared. So that we are prepared to meet the Lord. Who knows when? We're all going to die in a relatively short period of time. That's not anything you don't know. You already know that. But it's important to remember that so it can motivate you to do your best today to follow Christ in your daily life. All right, one quick reminder, followingthetruth.com. If you can help me out by giving me a donation, that would greatly help my work. Thank you for your donations. And please, if you have not done it and you're thinking about doing it, today would be a great day to do that. It would really make my day if I saw some new donations. Again, if you're able, please don't put yourself in any financial jeopardy. If you have the money, you're able to do that, it would greatly help me. Also, please remember podcastforworriers.com. If you or somebody you know happens to be a worrier, it is the only podcast of its kind, a podcast created specifically for those who worry, to help them grow closer to Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And that is really, in my life, has been the most effective way to overcome my tendency to worry, is to get to know Christ better and to ask him one day at a time for that help. So either followingthetruth.com or podcastforworriers.com. You can get to my work through either one of those domains. Thanks again for listening to the program. Have a wonderful day. Remember to pray for the souls in purgatory. And again, thank you for listening. And wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you say hi. Talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.